Now, I've been plugging this for a few days. Very excited about talking to this man. We all know what a legend of cricket and legend of Australian sport, to be honest, Alan Border is. Alan Border medal coming up on Monday night. But it's also a very important anniversary this year, the 30th anniversary of Australia's memorable World Cup triumph in India and Pakistan in 1987. A real turning point for Australian cricket, I think most people would agree. Real treat to have Alan Border on the line to talk to us. Good morning, AB.
Good morning. How are you going?
Very well. I was just jogging my memory about what happened in that tournament. It was an amazing tournament, wasn't it? You guys had to win or play seven games to win it, but five of the victories came by 18 runs or less.
Yeah, it was just one of those freakish sort of tournaments. We went into it very much the underdogs. Our previous couple of years of cricket had been fairly ordinary, to say the least, and we'd sort of struggled to get the results that we obviously after as Australian cricket team. But just a good young group was starting to form, come together well, starting to play some good cricket, albeit via the one-day game. But, we were very much the underdog as we left on that particular tournament. And, just things got better and better as we got deeper and deeper into that tournament. And, just quite incredible, the way it all panned out for us.
I guess, momentum's a wonderful thing, and you really created your momentum right from the first game with a win by one run over India, which was... just reading about the game, a lot of people thinking, oh, no, the tied test had been a year previous, and a lot of people thinking, we're going to get another tie. What are your memories of that first game?
Well, it was always going to be a tough ask, wasn't it, playing against India in the first game, the host nation, very good side, particularly, as we know, good in their own conditions. So it was always a daunting task, and there's an interesting sort of bias story to that game. We batted first and batted very well. I think Jeff Marsh made 100.
Yep.
And we finished our score on 268.
Mm.
But in the course of our innings, Dean Jones hit the ball over long on his head. I think it was Ravi Shastri. And it clearly went for six because the ball landed not far from where our viewing area was, and we saw that it was clearly over the line. But Ravi got up, singling four, and the umpire... signaled four, and we were jumping up and down saying it was six. But, we made 268, so I'm thinking, oh, that's a pretty good score. And Alan Crompton, who is our manager, he said, oh, I'm not having this. There's been a error here. And he rushed upstairs to see the match officials and argued the point that there was a mistake made. And he comes back, and he's secured an extra two runs for us. So we end up on 270. And, of course, we go to bowl against India and they're whacking it everywhere, but we're taking wickets as the innings progress. And it was getting down to those final few moments. Anyway, Steve Waugh bowls Maninda Singh in the last over of the game and they've made 269. So, quite an incredible sort of buy story to that first victory because you don't know, if you'd lost by, such a short margin, whether you would have sort of had the momentum going into the other games. But it's just quite incredible how we won that first game and those circumstances. And then obviously just about every game we played was a tight one. So, just one of those, you've got to have a little bit of luck along the way as well.
And it was the making of several players, wasn't it? I mean, I know Steve had already been in the national team for a couple of years, but that first game again, I mean, India were 2 for 200 with 15 overs left.
Yes.
And Steve Waugh came on, you said he bowled that last over, but he really became the quintessential sort of death bowler, didn't he? A magnificent ability to throttle the runs, but also take some important wickets.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we know the cricketer he became, but obviously throughout that team, a lot of guys who were young and just starting out in their international careers, but they've gone on to really bigger and better things from that tournament. Like Boone and Marsh became stalwarts at the top of the order. Obviously, Dino Jones was absolutely brilliant right throughout that tournament in particular, but had a great career as well. Stephen Waugh, obviously, Craig McDermott, Bruce Reid, Simon O'Donnell was a pivotal player, particularly in our one-day team. So, Stephen Waugh, he became the Iceman, didn't he?
At
the tail end of those one-day games and did a great job for us. So, it was just, as I said, leading into the tour, we were very much the underdogs, but I had a sort of sneaky suspicion that, the younger guys were really starting to find their feet and that, look, few on the line of streams that we'd win the thing, but I knew we'd give it a red-hot go.
Yeah, well, you know, you progressed through beating India, New Zealand, Zimbabwe, and then Pakistan, the semi-final in Lahore. And that was one thing I remember, that, you know, Pakistan hosted a semi in their country, India hosted one in theirs, and they both lost. So Australia and England sort of played the party pooper role.
That's right, yeah.
And then the final against England, where we made 5 for 253, 75 to Burnie, 30-odd to Dino, you got a 30-odd. Mike Valletta played a really important part in that game too, didn't he, with 45 not out at the end.
Well, yeah, you know, look, that was a significant contribution. I mean, that stacks up to the run rates of today in 2020 cricket. You know, what was it, 40-odd off 30, just 30 balls. And, you sort of think, oh, well, Mike Valletta, I mean, he's not a huge sort of power hitter. He just worked the ball into the gaps, ran well, picked them off with, just good cricket shots, you know, not the power game that we see today. So, yeah, that was a pivotal moment. He had a fantastic tournament, particularly in semi-final final, Mike Valletta, and a bit of an unsung hero, as you always have in those sort of campaigns. There's always someone who, you know, steps up the plate, bigger than better than what they've previously done. So, you know, it was just one of those tours where everything clicked. We had a fantastic work ethic. Bob Simpson was the coach, so he's a grizzly old pro, and made us work very, very hard and all the basic skills. And, yeah, he really drove us hard, and it's sort of very beneficial at the end of the day because we became a very good fielding side, a very good defensive side, if there's such a term, in that we batted first in a lot of the games and then defended really well. So that was our sort of pretty basic game plan.
But don't see yourself short on the pivotal moments either, because I think the moment everyone remembers from the final is Mike Gatting trying to reverse sweep, you being the bowler and being caught behind by Greg Dyer. And it was such a controversial thing at the time, wasn't it? I remember he got absolutely slammed in the English press. We see guys reverse sweep every second ball these days, but back then it was a big deal, wasn't it?
Yeah, we hadn't seen much of it up until then. Don't worry, I let Mike Gatting know every time I see him. He sort of crosses the road every time we sort of meet these days. But, it was an unusual shot. It was one of those deliveries. He was batting very, very well, and giving our spinners a bit of a touch-up. So I thought, oh, bloody hell, you know, I've got to sort of give myself a bowl here just to change things up a tad. And I set a very strong onside field. Obviously the gaps are on the offside, but I was determined not to let him hit it to the offside. So I end up, you know, the very first ball was a bit of a loosener. And I was going to try to bowl it tight into his pads, but it ended up being, you know, like, I reckon, you know, 2 foot outside leg stump.
Yeah.
It would have clearly been a wide, but of course he's premeditated the reverse sweep and had to sort of go fetch a little bit from wide outside his leg stump and caught the top edge, you know, onto his shoulder and up in the air. And, yeah, it was a really big wicket because he was going to take the game away from us the way it was back at the time. So, there's always moments and sort of things that you look back on that turn the game in your favour and why you win things. And, that was just one of those moments.
And it must have been such a a relief as much as anything for yourself. I mean, you'd been captain then for, a good 3 years and been pretty tough times. You know, we got smashed in England and we'd lost to New Zealand pretty infamously. And it was sort of like your first chance as captain to really celebrate some success, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I don't think we remember the team winning song at that point of time. We had three sort of pretty barren years.
What was it? It wasn't K-San then, was it?
No. Can you believe that the team anthem on that particular tour was Simon O'Donnell singing Billy, Don't Be a Hero?
Oh, no.
About 1,000 times. So it sort of gets stuck in my head now whenever I hear it, which is rarely, I suppose. But it always brings up memories of the World Cup. But, the team song, you know, was mainly sung after test matches, you know, underneath the Southern Cross. And, we just sort of forgot the words there for a while because we just didn't have a lot of success. But, it's like anything, you know, younger players come through the ranks. We've got a good, you know, always had a good system in place, like Sheffield Shield cricket, et cetera. So, young players, like the Stephen Waugh's, Craig McDermott, these sort of guys started to come through the ranks, and we started to build a pretty good nucleus of players. And it's like anything, it just takes a little bit of time to mature. And, after 87, things started to turn around for us pretty significantly. So we ended up with a pretty good era, didn't we, going through the late 80s into the 90s.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it created a culture, didn't it? And then I guess the next significant moment was the 89 Ashes in England, and then finally that breakthrough win over the West Indies in 95. So even after that, I mean, there's an eight-year gap. But it really paid off, and that set us up for 10 years of dominance. I was going to ask you, actually, just on the West Indies, I mean, is that sort of the greatest bugbear still for you, that you were never able to beat them in a series? And, of course, coming so close, that one-run loss in Adelaide in 92-3.
Yeah, there was a few heartaches along the way. But, yeah, they were the dominant team of my generation. And, it does stick in the craw a little bit, the fact that I had the odd test match win against them, but not in a series. So over a long period of time, it just shows you how hard they were to beat. Anywhere in the world, they played in India and won, with a fast bowling quartet, which is sort of defies the odds a little bit, doesn't it, when you go into turning pitch conditions. But they were just a phenomenal cricket team. And they were a team that sort of had a sixth gear, We'll chug along in fourth or fifth, and you're competing, and then all of a sudden when they need to, they just find that sixth gear and away they go. So,
well, that happened in 92-3, didn't it? I mean, we were so close to winning in Adelaide, and then we went to Perth with the series squared, and they just destroyed us.
Oh, yeah, well, Curtly Ambrose was phenomenal in that particular game. So, and momentum is a funny thing. We talk about it a lot, don't we? But it's obvious in a lot of cases you can see it happening. We had the momentum, going into Adelaide, and then just that final, few overs where we came unstuck. And then, of course, they just grabbed the momentum and run with it in Perth, So it's just, it's an amazing thing. Once you get it, you got to keep hang on to it.
Well, we've seen a good example of momentum this summer, haven't we? I mean, our stocks were as low as they've been for probably 20-odd years after that debacle in Hobart, and yet we've, a bit of new blood, and we've turned it around, four test wins in a row, and all of a sudden things are looking a lot brighter.
Yeah, it's extraordinary how it works. You'd like to bottle it if you could, because it's just amazing. Just as you say, just a few different personnel, a couple of young bucks that come in, and it's amazing how young players, refresh the mood of the side around the place, with training, etc., and things haven't changed that much. The core group is still very much the same, just a few additions here and there, and away you go. And it's amazing. Once you get on that winning train, you sort of got to ride it as long as you can.
Well, massive challenge coming up with the tour to India. You've had a lot of experience in Indian conditions, and some people argue that their tracks have changed a little bit even in recent times. But philosophically, what is the key to success when you're touring India?
Well, I suppose you've got to get past the it's a different culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just it's just wall to wall people. There's 1.3 billion Indians, they're just all cricket crazy. So getting past that fervour of noise, and you just see the variety of life there, as far as the very wealthy to the extremely poor. And it's sort of, it's just a different way of life to what we're used to here in Australia. So, just getting past, the differences that you encounter in just the culture alone. And then it comes down to, playing on those pitches. They've got fervent support. They play their conditions really well, as you expect. We should be defending our patch, equally as strongly. So they just play their conditions really well. But you've just got to, really embrace the culture and embrace, the noise and just all the differences. Embrace the differences. And if you're sort of trying to fight it, you'll never do any good. So as long as you, go in there with that positive attitude that you just embrace all the little, nuances that, can annoy you, it's amazing how it can sort of really affect your cricket in a good positive way. So if they do that collectively, we're in there with a shot. And then obviously you've got to, play your best cricket because, look, I went to India and Pakistan. Oh, I don't know how many games I played in India and that, or the subcontinent, and never won a game.
Oh, really?
So this has been going on for, 40 years, this type of problem. So it's nothing new. We've got to find a way, and hopefully we've got the group there together that can, collectively, you've got to hunt as a pack. You can't just go off, individual sort of performances here and there. You've got to really hunt as a pack in India. And, look, fingers crossed they find their best form at the right time.
There's been, there's always contentious selection issues when a squad's picked to tour overseas. I guess in this case, four spinners versus maybe taking another paceman. Got a few all-rounders there. Do you feel like, generally speaking, we've picked the right squad?
Look, I reckon, as you said, there's always contentious, selections. I personally would have taken a gamble on another pace man. Probably Pat Cummins.
Yeah.
I think he's ready to go. I'm not sure why they're holding him back so much, but obviously they know they're the inner sanctum.
That's a good point, though, Alan, though, isn't it? Because how long do you keep him in cotton wool? And they're saying, we want to preserve him for the Ashes. But, if he runs into an injury in India, he's got 6 months to get over it.
Exactly. I don't understand it, but it's the new thinking, isn't it? So, but I would have been very tempted to have that, that firepower bowling option. I mean, the way I look at it, if you use Pat Cummins properly, he's only probably got to bowl 16, 18 overs in a day.
Yeah,
and you just do it in four short bursts, and you just let him rip. And I think, to me, if I'm a batsman, I know who I prefer to face.
Yeah.
Even on a turning track, I think, he's a guy who could probably get some reverse swing as well, which will be really key to doing well over there. The faster blokes, the ball gets older and torn up a bit. I'm not sure whether we're going to beat them just with spin options.
Well, it's got to be good enough spin, doesn't it?
Traditionally the off spinners have done pretty well there. I think back to Greg Matthews in the Thai Test, he was phenomenal, his performance there. And Jason Crazier got, 12 wickets in a Test match. So the offies have done okay, but you've got to really bowl well. And we've got to have that mindset. Sometimes we over-attack.
Yeah.
We've got to sort of take a deep breath and sort of play a bit more of a defensive game at times. They've got a phenomenally good batting lineup, India, and to get our 20 wickets to win games, we're going to have to show a lot more patience than we normally do. We tend to get into that frame of mind that we've got to tora all the time, and I think we've got to sort of take a deep breath and just rethink some of those tactics.
Well, there's going to be so many people just with fingers crossed. It's going to be one of the most watched tours of India I think we've ever been part of, and look, let's just hope we've got the right combination.
That's just a fingers crossed sort of job, isn't it?
Absolutely. Alan Border medal, I'm sure a great honour for you to have that named after yourself. Monday night, yes. Big function. You got a tip for us?
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because you sort of see what's immediately in front of you, and you think, it's got to be Steve Smith. But obviously then you start thinking back a little bit over the last 12 months. I think Mitchell Starc, he's been quite incredible what he's achieved over those 12 months. Joshy Hazlewood's, had a pretty good period of time as well. And obviously David Warner's probably comes into contention. Probably one of those four, I'd say. It's always interesting, isn't it? Because you've got to be playing a lot of international cricket. So the guys who play one day cricket and test cricket have got the leg up. But
yeah,
if you've had a phenomenal test match run, with the way the weighting of the points, you could probably sneak in. But I'd say it's one of those four, with probably Steve Smith as the favourite.
Yeah, no, I agree. Wonderful season by Steve Smith. He's fantastic. Let's hope he has a great tour of India. Look, thanks for joining us, AB. It's always a pleasure to chat, and it's been a fascinating discussion. And great reunion of what was a really important turning point for Australian cricket history, the 1987 World Cup. Thanks for joining us.
Absolute pleasure. Anytime.